Okay, Sichos Haran Os Nun Gemoch. I put at the top of the page a quote from Rav Eliyahu Chaim Rosen, who said that apparently Rabbi Nachman said to Rabbi Nassan that when you write your chidushim, you should always write, you should be careful. The person has to think carefully about what he puts into print. And one's every word should be measured. But when it comes to the topic of faith, let your pen flow. When it comes to Amunah, Rabbi Nachman didn't cut corners. And I feel like we talk about this a lot, but it always requires a lot of review. And I think one of the stronger, clearer teachings of Rabbi Nachman, where he says it like it is, I think is this piece, Sichos Haran Os Nun Gimel. He says, Mi sheyesh lo Amunah chayav chayim. A person who has Amunah, his life is a life. If you have Amunah, life is the way it's supposed to be. V'hu mevala yemei chayav b'tov tamid. And he's able to... Mevala is a funny word. Mevala means sort of to like use up. But he goes through his life in a constant state of goodness. Because he's a true believer that everything Hashem does is good. Ki kishaholech lo kara'oi v'yesh lo tov bevadai tov lo. Because when things are working out, and life is good in a very obvious and revealed way, bevadai tov lo. So that's easy to, when you think it's good, it's easy to describe it as. Life is not superficially all that great. Dehainu she'ein misnaig lo. When life is not unfolding in an organized way, where things are a little out of order. V'yesh lo yisurin chas v'shalom. And he's going through difficulties, pains and difficulties. Be it physical, spiritual, emotional, whatever it may be. Gam kein tov. He's able to say, and to really believe, again, to say it and to really believe it, ki gam kein tov, that this is also good. Why? Ki hu batuach sha'af al pichin Hashem yisbarach yirachem elav lahaba v'yetiv achariso. Because he knows with certainty that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to allow this story to end well. Whether it's, again, in this world or it's in the next world. But if he really, really believes that Hashem is the Makor HaTov, that everything Hashem does is good, so then he's able to what? To be able to live a life where he doesn't feel that life is hefker, and he doesn't feel that things are unfair. He realizes that everything is calculated, and everything is going to be good, and if it's not good now, it's going to be good in the end. And there'll be a surprise ending. It may be in this world, it may not be in this world. It may be in the next world. Maybe he suffers his whole life in this world, only to find out that yes, this was a Gilgal, he came back, his neshama was sent back to this world the second time. The first time around, he had it really good. But he needed, in order to perfect his soul, he needed to suffer. So Hashem says, I'm sorry, I had to put you through that, but now you can enjoy, bask in the Ziv HaShechina for eternity. Okay, so that was worth it. Compared to eternity, my 70, 80, 90 years in this world, it's literally a blink of an eye. So if a person really believes that Hashem has his best interest in mind, then he's able to live his life. Because if he really believes that everything is from Hashem, and he really believes that everything Hashem does is for the best and is good, okay, so then he's able to recognize the goodness of everything. It doesn't make it always fun or pleasant or easy, but at least he's able to live. He's able to really live. Aval mi she'ein lo emuna chas v'shalom chayev einam chayim klal. But a person who, God forbid, does not have emuna, his life is not really a life at all. Ki tekaf kishe'over alav eizara shuv ein lo shum chiyus. Because as soon as something troublesome comes his way, he immediately feels completely broken by it. There's a tremendous sense of a loss of chiyus. He feels like, I'd rather be dead. My life is ruined. Right? He said this total lack, this total disconnect from the source of his own life. Because how does he comfort himself? How does he justify? How does he explain? How does he make sense of his struggles? Again, if you bring Hashem into the picture and Hashem is in charge, then I can take a deep breath. I could take another step. I could continue to live. But when a person feels that life is, life is taking place without Hashem in the picture, so then the second something goes wrong, he feels his life is not his own. He's not in control. And he has no amuna with which to comfort himself. Ve'ein lo shum chiyus v'shum tov me'acher shaho leich b'li Hashem yisbach. And the bottom line is that even if life is going well, this is what's interesting, even if life is going well for this guy, he's not really alive because he's disconnected from the ultimate source of life, which is Hashem. So even when things, again, like just like in the first half of the piece, whether things go well or things don't go well, he's alive because he's connected to Hashem. The same thing I think is true in the second half. Whether things are going well or not well, right? If it's not well, then he's really lost. But even when things are working out for him, we would say to him, your life's not real life because you're missing out on the main thing in life, which is what? Which is attachment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's very nice that we're learning this piece during, as we enter into the Yemei HaShovavim, because the two main things that are connected to each other and define the really the essence of a Jewish soul are Emunah and Kedusha. I mentioned it in passing yesterday. Mesilas Shalom writes about it, that every major turning point of Jewish history, the two major issues that we had to solidify were our faith and our Kedusha, our bodily holiness. Shmira Sabris, Kedusha Sabris. They're very much connected. And the Siva Shalom says, Stuchina Rebbe mentioned it very recently, that they correspond to Mashiach ben David and Mashiach ben Yosef. Think about it. David HaMelech, David who is Tefillah, David who is Malchus, David is Amunah. And Yosef, of course, is what? Yosef, of course, is the Tzaddik, the one who has the Kedusha, the Shmir Sabris. So in order to bring the Geula, you need the combination of Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. You need Kedusha Sabris, and you need Amuna. And they're deeply connected. Because as a person enters into that world of Tumah, as a person defiles the body, so it becomes much harder for that person to believe in Hashem. A person feels disconnected from Shabbos, which is connected to Amuna. The Svarim talk a lot about the connection between Shabbos and Kedusha Sabris, of Amuna and Kedusha Sabris. Right? They're very, very much connected. So it's very appropriate that during Shovim, which is a time of Tikkun HaBris, that we learn this piece about solidifying our Amunah. Because the two are very, very much connected. Stuchina Rebbe explained, and it makes a lot of sense, I never understood this. He says, why is it that there's this relationship between Amunah and Kedusha Sabris or Pagam HaBris? And why is it that when it comes to Pagam HaBris, I think this was so insightful, he didn't use the word addiction, but why is it that people have sexual addiction, pornographic addiction? Why do people become addicted to the taiva of arayos? Right? To the point that people sometimes think they can't control themselves. Oh, strange thing. You know, cheeseburgers look tasty also, but a person like says, I don't do that. Right? And yet this thing, sometimes people feel like I can't control myself. I'm not able to control myself. What is it about this addictive quality When it comes to Inyane Arayos, that people struggle to be purish from Arayos? The Gemara in Sota says that when a person is nichshol in Arayos, it says had Yosef sinned with Eshes Potiphar, she would have been attached to him, not only in this world but in the next world. That it's kosher, it attaches itself. There's a hiskashrus, it attaches itself to you like a dog. That's what the Gemara says. Right? Like a person who's always walking their dog. Like they look like, you know, you wonder, is the dog walking the person or is the person walking the dog sometimes, right? That their mom is, you know, mekusher to one another. So why is it this is kashrus? And it's true. It's true when obviously, right, whether it's betumah or betara, when a man and the woman are together, there's a hiskashrus of the bodies. The bodies come together. They attach to one another. So what is this eating of hiskashrus? And why is it so connected to amunah? So it's very simple. It's very simple because if you understand what Amunah is what? Being Makushar to Hashem, being Davuk to Hashem. What's Dveikus? Dveikus means being attached. So to speak, the corollary or the opposite, depending on, again, whether it's B'Kedusha or B'Tumah, the corollary of Amunah, so to speak, the thing that comes along with Amunah is always going to be what? Is Kedusha Sabris, Shmira Sabris. Again, why do people become, again, attached so deeply, sometimes in the most destructive way, to this taiva? And the answer is because it's rooted in that desire, that drive for attachment. I can attach myself to my spouse. I can attach myself to my Creator. I can attach. Again, that's why it has a certain quality to it that people become more caught up in it than when it comes to other things. Okay, I thought that was a very insightful thing to think about. So again, so a person who doesn't have emunah, so his life is not a life. When bad things come his way, he has no means of comforting himself. He feels that he has no chiyus because he lives without a Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'lo hashgacha rachman al tzlan. He has no one watching out for him. As opposed to the mamin believes that even when I'm going through a tough time, a Kadosh Baruch Hu is of course going to work this out for me in the end. Aval yedei emunah mato v'yafa chiyus shalo. But a person who has emunah, how beautiful is his life? How much better is he able to exist simply because he walks with Hashem? Rabbi Nachman, a couple paragraphs earlier, in Sichos Haran Os Lamed Gimel, we had learned it in the past, but we haven't seen it this year, so we'll review it. Rabbi Nachman one time said, Shuv pam achas hayimedaber me'amuna. Ana va'amar, etza la'olam amuna hu davar katan. By the world, amuna is a small thing. Ve'etzli amuna hu davar gadol mod. But by me, amuna is the biggest thing. People sometimes think, oh yeah, emunah, like, yeah, okay, I believe in God. Good, that's like the starting point. And then we go from there. Rabbi Nachman says, no, that's like the goal. That's the biggest thing. And there's many levels, as we're about to see, when it comes to emunah. Emunah is not either I have it or I don't have it. If emunah means attachment, if it means dveikus, if it means clinging to Hashem, there's different degrees of clinging to Hashem. Right? I'm attached to my wife right now, even though she's sick in bed. Shavar fuah shleima. And I'm standing here learning Sichos Haran with you. So there's an element of hiskashrus that always exists between husband and wife. Right? But there's different degrees of being present. The same thing is true with Hashem. Right now, every one of us is connected to Hashem, but there's different degrees of being aware of that, of feeling that, of living that. There's many levels. So Rabbi Nachman said, by me, Amunah is the biggest thing. V'ikra Amunah hi b'li shum chachmos v'chakivas klal. And as Rabbi Nachman often described, the goal of emunah is what? Is to have simple emunah. Rak bepshitus gamor. Simple, simple emunah. That Hashem runs the world. Don't make it complicated. Live with Hashem every step of the way. Kamo sha'anoshim v'amon am aksher ma'aminim. Like the women who typically were less educated in terms of book knowledge. And the hamon am, and the masses. Again, some who were illiterate, but had a simple faith in God. Those are the ma'aminim k'sherim. Those are the true believers. And we see historically that Jews who had emunah pshuta had a better chance of surviving the hardships of history than Jews who had complicated faith. That's what Rav Yosef Yaivitz, who was one of the Jews in the Spanish expulsion, in his Sefer Or HaChaim, he writes, he says, I saw that during the expulsion from Spain, he said, those people who were big philosophers, and those people who had all sorts of understanding of God, many of them abandoned their faith. Push comes to shove, they abandoned their faith. And the Jews with simple faith were prepared to what? To give up everything for their God. So Rabbi Nachman encouraged us to be simple about our emunah, but to realize that as simple as it is, as someone said to me in Shul this Shabbos, emunah pshuta is not so pashut. It's true, emunah pshuta is not so pashut. It's a big thing. Rabbi Nachman is a very big thing. Some people think emunah is a small thing, but me, it's a big thing. In the Chaim Oran, I think this is a good piece to explain that there are many levels in emunah. Look what Rabbi Nachman explains here in Chaim Oran, in source number 3. Shamati b'shmo, sha'amar, she'tov ma'od mishezocha lichnos uletayel atzmo be'emunah. Fortunate is the one who's able to go for a walk, so to speak, through the garden of emunah. It doesn't say garden, but letayel, to go for a stroll. Through what? Through the world of emunah. And what is the world of emunah made up of? Look what he says. V'sham yesh hechalos v'chadarim. There are many chambers and rooms and passageways. V'hu nichlas u'metayel atzo mi'cheder l'cheder mi'platin l'platin. And this individual goes from room to room, from palace to palace. What's he describing? I think what he's telling us is that within emunah, there are many different places to be within emunah. Right? In that world of emunah that Rabbi Nachman is describing as a davar gadol, there's a lot of different levels of emunah. There are small rooms, there are big rooms. There are corridors that lead from one palace to another palace. V'yeshom drachim kevushim nifla mod. And there are all sorts of, again, different ways that a person could, so to speak, find his way through the Garden of Emunah. U'misham nechnasin v'taylin b'bitachon. And then from Emunah, which is the theory of belief in God, one comes to bitachon, which is the actual living with that belief in God. V'acharkach nechnasin yoser v'yoser. And then he goes deeper and deeper into this world of Emunah. Ashrei hanichnas u'metayel sham. Praiseworthy is the person who understands that Emunah is a lifetime of work. Emunah is not something you have or you don't have. It's meant to be developed and enriched and deepened as time goes on, to live with it more and more, to be able to be more at ease when life gets hectic, and to be able to be more thankful to Hashem when things go your way. And to be able to be just, you know, to have a certain, again, Yishuv Hadas, as we'll see in a second, when I'm living with Hashem. Reb Harish, you want to say something? Sure? Okay. So we mentioned last time that Reb Tzvi Aryeh Rosenfeld was a Breslover Chassid, a clean-shaven, non-payas-wearing Breslover Chassid, who was teaching Rabbi Nachman to English speakers in America in the 1940s. And again, we have to have a lot of akaris atov that we've even heard of Rabbi Nachman in America. Don't take it for granted that we've even heard of Rabbi Nachman. So Reb Tzvi Aryeh Rosenfeld was a great mashpia, a great teacher of the Torah of Rabbi Nachman. And in his shiur, Mansicha Saran, which I told you has been published in English, called Rabbi Nachman's Soul, in the second volume, so he writes on this piece the following. Now there are many cynics and skeptics who say that faith is very good, but how do you feed your children with faith alone? I mean, how do you, what's it mean to live with Emunah? Could I actually eat Emunah for breakfast? How do you have enough milk for a starving child with faith alone? How do you buy clothes with faith alone? A person can have perfect faith, but he has to live. He has to eat. He has to have a home. He has to provide for his family. How can he do that with faith alone? I mean, what's Rabbi Nachman saying? Oh, if you have Emunah, then you're alive. How about if I have Emunah and enough money to pay my mortgage, then I'm alive? What does it mean a person lives off of his Emunah? He cannot tell his boss, I have to leave because it's Erev Shabbos, and not worry about the job because he has Emunah. His boss will say, well, you can take your Emunah, and then you can go to the pay window, collect your final pay, and go home and enjoy it. Right? Meaning, good luck to you. You're leaving work early because of your faith? That's nice, so go take your faith, and go home and let God provide for you. Right? So there's a part of us that doesn't understand, what does it mean to live? What does it mean to live off of Emunah? So it's not that Rabbi Nachman's saying, sit home and expect, again, like you don't have to actually buy the milk to give to your child. Right? It's not what it's saying. What it's saying is that a person who has Emunah, again, is able to go about his life with a certain equanimity of his spirit. And I think a great way to describe it is to learn the Chovas HaLevavos is opening lines in the first parak of his Shar Bitachon. Because what does a person of Bitachon look like? Again, if I've been metayel from the world of Emunah into the world of Bitachon, if I'm going from room to room, corridor to corridor, chamber to chamber, palace to palace, where am I trying to get to? I'm trying to get to a place where I really believe that if my boss said, take your Emunah and go home, I'd be calm, not nervous. Not that I'm supposed to do that. I'm not supposed to sit at home and expect miracles to fall on my doorstep. I don't think that's what Rabbi Nachman's saying. But it's a certain awareness of living with Hashem that gives me this tremendous, tremendous peace of mind. The Chovas HaLevavos writes in source number 5, Ach mehus habitachon hi menuchas nefesh haboteach. What is bitachon? What is trusting Hashem? Again, if I have a Emunah, I have to put it into practice, which means to trust God. How do I trust God? I trust God that I never panic. I'm never anxious. I don't get nervous. Mehus habitachon, the definition, the essence of bitachon, is menuchas nefesh haboteach, is the peace of mind that the one who is trusting has. She'alibo samuch al mi shebatach alav. That I'm able to have what? I'm able to have a sense of samuch. I'm able to rely upon. So mech Hashem l'chol anoflim. L'chol anoflim. No, what do you mean? L'chol anoflim? not in my situation. I've fallen so low that I have to get nervous. I don't know how many. So mech Hashem l'chol anoflim. Hashem will pick up the everyone, no matter how low you fall. Kol anoflim. It doesn't say some of the noflim. Hashem will pick up kol anoflim. So no matter how bad the situation looks, the Kadosh Baruch Hu will out. You don't have to panic. Hashem will find a way to work it out. To believe that Hashem is in charge, that Hashem controls the situation at any and every given moment. That's what it means for a person. That's what it means for a person to live with emunah. I don't know if I told you this story. I tell you this story about the Birchas Avram from Slonim, who was blind. Did I mention this story? I feel like I did, but I'll say it again if I didn't, because it's really... The Birchas Avram, the Slonim Rebbe, was blind. Lama Leinu, in his older age, in his later years. And his grandson would come to help him in the morning. So his grandson would, his grandfather would always ask him, he'd say, you know, for davening, I want you to bring me a sitter. Now, a blind person doesn't usually need a sitter. He can't see the words. So his grandson would bring him a sitter, and every morning he would take that sitter in his hand, and he would recite the bracha of Pokeach Ivrim, that Hashem gives sight to the blind, and he would try to then, you know, open his eyes, so to speak, to see if Hashem would give him his vision. And if it didn't work, he would stand there with the open sitter, he'd tell his grandson, open up the brachos, he would recite the bracha of Pokeach Ivrim, and then he would look, or he would try to look. Right? And day after day, and day after day, he was still blind. He would close the sitter, give it a kiss, he'd put it aside, and he would continue to daven Baal Peh. But that a person should really believe with such hashkacha, with such precision, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, just because I was blind yesterday doesn't mean I need to be blind today. Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Hashem is Pokeach Ivrim. Hashem gives sight to the blind. The fact that any of us woke up this morning and are able to see is a miracle. And that's why we say a bracha on it every morning. So he says, I believe with Amunah Shlema, he would say to his grandson, I believe with Amunah Shlema that Hashem can restore my vision when I say that bracha. If it doesn't work out, okay, then obviously I won't need a sitter, and I'll be makabel that Hashem wants me to be blind for another day. And I'll be able to go about my day besimcha, even though I'm blind and a blind person is compared to a dead person, according to Chazal. Suma chashav kames, that's how painful the experience of a blind person is. But that's what it means for a person to live with Hashem in the most precise way. So Mamish believes the fact that I'm blind yesterday doesn't mean I have to be blind today. That's living with a Kadosh Baruch Hu and being mekabel when Hashem says the Yisurin are going to continue for you. Okay, that's Hashem's will for today. My life is still going to be a life. I'm not going to be a dead person just because I'm blind. Because if I have a Muna, I have everything. That's unbelievable to me. That's the most unbelievable thing in the world. So again, so the sign of a person of bitachon, says the Chovas HaLevavos, is Menuchas HaNefesh, to be dependent, to rely upon a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Sheyase ha-tov ha-nachon lo b'inyan, asher yiftach alav kafi achalto v'dayto b'ma. Right? To be able to rely on a Kadosh Baruch Hu and to trust that Hashem knows my situation and Hashem is going to make my situation good and He's going to be mafik tov aso. Hashem is going to increase my goodness, my life. Yes. Hi, I don't know your name. I'm sorry. Shalom Aleichem.
Hi,
Mark. Welcome. In terms of what? Right, again, Again, a person, we're allowed to ask for, right? We're allowed to daven to Hashem that I shouldn't be put into, we say in our davening, we refer to Hashem as a gomel chasadim tovim, right? Hashem does chasadim tovim, good kindness. As opposed to bad kindness? What's good kindness as opposed to bad kindness? What does chasadim tovim mean? What does that even mean? So what it means is that everything Hashem does is really chesed. Everything Hashem does is good. It's kind. In the big picture, everything Hashem does is kind. Right? You'll see in the end that your biggest tragedies in life were Hashem providing for you in some way. We daven that Hashem should give us chasadim tovim. I want to have the type of kindness where I'm able to identify it as good. Right? So you'll tell me, having money is kind, and if God makes you poor, that's also Hashem's kindness towards you. Obviously, one is more enjoyable, I guess. One is easier to put a smile on your face, right? When Baruch Hashem, you have money to buy food for the day, as opposed to the person who doesn't have money to buy food for the day, God forbid. So we ask, we pray that we should have revealed good in our life. We want chasadim tovim. Right? We don't want to suffer. But at the same time, we have to strive to have emunah that no matter what life brings me, I'm able to feel alive because I'm living with God.
That's... Should the blind person not have an alternative question to say? For example, women don't say shalosh.
Right. So again, part of the pokeach evrim is... Again, each of the brachos is not really for the individual per se. They're more for... They're more general. Right? The fact that there's a bracha for men and a bracha for women is also more of a general quality. There's a question also, if a person gets up in the morning and doesn't need to use the bathroom, do you still say Asher Yatzar as part of the regular seder of brachos in the morning? And the opinion that suggests that you should obviously says that you're acknowledging the general creation of man's ability to, you know, to relieve himself, even if you did not do so that morning. So the blind person also, in terms of saying Pokeach Ivrim, right, we're saying, Hashem, you give sight to the blind. And that's what the Slonim Rebbe was saying, that Hashem, first of all, you have the ability to restore my vision any second if you wanted. And he was davening that Hashem should. He was also accepting if Hashem would not. So to be able to, again, to live with that awareness that Hashem is actively involved in my life in that way is what Rabbi Nachman is presenting here. And that gives a person the highest quality of life. And I know that my life is not random. And I know that Hashem is in charge, so then I rely upon God. I believe that everything He does is for my benefit. And then my life is really is a good life. It's able to be a good life. Not always any of is being governed by someone who cares about me. We'll see more about that in a couple of minutes. Yes, Rabbi Sam. Right.
We're striving to always increase our emunah. And I feel like it's very hard to feel like satisfied with like your level of emunah. You could always feel like I don't believe enough. How would you respond to that?
Again, you don't have to focus. The goal is not to feel frustrated that you don't believe enough, but to try to work on it. It's like anything else that you work on. That's one of the important things that Chassidus is emphasizing. It's not either you have it or you don't. That emunah is an avoda. That a person can work on one's emunah. So to be self-aware of how did I respond in this difficult situation, right? Or how much did I think about Hashem today? How much of my day do I feel that I was attached to Hashem? Right? Well, what were the moments when I felt that I was Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid, that Hashem was in my presence and I was in His presence? So that's the avoda. Yeah, the goal is not to just feel bad for yourself that I could have greater emunah. It goes to work on it. To work on it. Don't focus on the fact that you don't yet have the highest level of emunah, but to continue to strive upward, to understand that all 613 mitzvos are ways of attaching myself more deeply to Hashem, of enriching my emunah. Yes? Right.
Isn't this kind of like, I feel like it's like kind of like contradictory because like we're trying to say that like Emunah just like know that like Hashem is involved, but then like we're trying to like to go into like the deeper.
Right. Good question. Good question. Are there levels within Emunah Pshuta, right? Emunah Pshuta, you're saying, it sounds like either you have it or you don't have it. Right? Like I believe, period. There's nothing to enrich. There's nothing to work on.
No, I'm not saying that. Yeah.
That makes sense to say that. If that's not what you're saying, you could say something else.
No, I'm just saying more of like, yes, that, but also just like, I feel like in most things, like in Yiddishkeit, we don't say that like we're trying to do it in the most simple way. Like when it comes to Talmud Torah, we're not saying like let's try to just like learn like from Mishnah Rashi.
Right, but it's in Emunah we're just trying to we're moving in the direction of Echad. We want to move to the world. Emunah means belief in the oneness of Hashem. So the more I complicate it, the more I complicate it, the more it moves me away from that wholesome oneness of Hashem. And again, the way to enrich it is, It's hard. It's a hard line between, like, what's the line between just being a responsible person, right? Or putting in my appropriate hishtadlus. But when is it a lack of emunah? Again, a lot of it's about the emotional state of being. Prepare for your job interview, but if you're being anxious about it, if you're nervous about it, if you feel like I need to get this job or else my summer's going to be ruined if I don't get the internship, that's already a lack of emunah. I'm not saying don't put your best foot forward when you apply for the job, right? But realize that Hashem is in charge and not this guy, not the person who's interviewing you. So again, that's why I put the Chovas Levavos in, because it's really that Menuchas HaNefesh HaBoteach, that he trusts that Hashem will provide for him. He's allowed to make his efforts, but he trusts that Hashem will be able to provide for him. All right, let's turn to page 2. So I want to make sure that we stay mindful of the time here. At the top of the page is a letter from Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter, where he says that all 613 mitzvos are just ways, pathways to Amunah. But I want to, let's look at source number 8. I felt badly that I didn't listen to Sam's request to learn Rabbi Nassan's Torah on his Yartzeit. So Sam, I apologize to you. But we'll learn a piece of Likutei Halachos that I found recently, which I think is really, really awesome. Really, really awesome. Nassan, in Likutei Halachos in Eiruvei Techumen, Rabbi Nassan said an amazing thing. Okay? Look at this. Look at this creative way to help us to have Amunah. Yesh shekvar ratzu kama pamim lashuv, v'kama pamim yizchilu b'tshuva avodas Hashem be'emes. There are people who've tried many times over to correct their ways. V'achar kach naflu, kamo shenaflu kol echad ve'echad, kefi nefilas rachman litzlan. And they've stumbled again and again and again. Now look what Rabbi Nassan does with the concept of Amunah. Watch this. V'al kein machnis habal davar b'libam. The Baal Davar means the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah puts into their hearts, b'chol pam, each time, shekvar afas tikva chas v'shalom, that hope is lost, l'fi otzim ha-pegamim ha'ela, you've caused too much damage to the world that you might as well give up. Aval be'emes b'zeh ba'atzmo yachol la'odum l'achios es atzmo u'lechazik es atzmo. But from this thing itself, from the damage that you have caused, you are able to strengthen your faith. What does that mean? Okay, here's how I understand this piece. I think there's two ways to learn it, but we're going to say it this way, where it's bolded. Ki me'achar she'ani yodeya adayin she'aveira hi pegam gadol, shal yada pogmin harbe ba'olamos elyonim, nimsa she'yesh li emuna adayin. From the fact that I know that my averos are causing damage to the higher realms, to the outer worlds, that itself is a proof that I still have Amunah. Let's say it like this. I think this is a very good way to learn it. Do you know for sure that your Avera does anything? Do you know for sure that your Avera does anything bad? If I smoke a cigarette on Shabbos, I don't smoke on Tuesday either, but let's say I decided to smoke a cigarette. I light a cigarette on Shabbos. I flick a light switch on Shabbos. I cook something on Shabbos. I carry something where there's no Erev on Shabbos. Yeah? I plant flowers on Shabbos. All those examples I just gave are Yisurei Melacha. Yeah? So, what do we believe as Jews? We believe that, well, your Mechal Shabbos is a massive Avera. It's so serious, if a person violates Shabbos on purpose, with warning, he could be executed by a Beis Din. If not, he could be Chayiv Karis. Even by accident, it's going to cost him several hundred dollars to bring a Karban Chatas. Yeah? But do you know for sure? Do you know for sure that anything happened? How do you know? If you eat a cheeseburger, if you go right now to McDonald's and buy yourself a cheeseburger and you eat it, right? Do you know for sure that you're damaging the Olamos? You don't know for sure. Can you prove it? Can you prove that any of your Averas ever caused any harm or damage spiritually to you or to anyone else or to the world? You don't know for sure. Can you prove it? Can anyone prove the damaging effect of an Avera? Obviously, if I punch someone in the face, okay, so I can prove the damaging effect of air. I broke that guy's nose. Right? But in terms of, I don't know, in terms of wearing shotness, you could prove that hurt your soul. You can't prove anything. As Jews, we believe. You have a muna that your averas matter. Right? You feel bad. A person did an avera. Let's talk a shov of him. Yeah? Again, a person was nechshol in Pagam HaBris. A person didn't guard his eyes from seeing things that a Jew shouldn't see. Right? And you feel bad afterwards. Why do you feel bad? You didn't do anything. Who says you did anything wrong? Well, it's a big avera. Don't stray after your eyes. Who says? Who says anything happened? Why do you feel bad? You were machal Shabbos. You spoke Lashon Hara. Yeah? You missed davening. You didn't put on tefillin. Whatever it was, why do you feel bad? Why do you feel bad? Because I believe that I did an avera. You believe it, but you can't prove it. So the fact that you believe that your averas matter, and as Jews, that's what we feel. When we do averas, we feel bad. The fact that you show up on Yom Kippur, and hopefully you can even, squeeze out a few tears as you're feeling sad, as you're going through, oh, yashamnu, bagadnu, gazalnu, dibarnu, dofi, and you're feeling bad, right? Even though you're not 100% sure that anything has ever happened, you can't prove it. You believe that your averos matter. So says Rabbi Nassan, you have a muna that your averos are pogim, that they cause damage to the olamos alyonim. Well, just like you believe in your averos, so if you're a believer, apparently you're a believer. Okay, good. So now believe in your mitzvos. Believe in tshuva. Believe that God still wants you. It's all based on emuna. Just like a person believes that he can damage, believe you can fix. That's what Rabbi Nachman said. If you believe you can break, believe you can fix. But what Rabbi Nassan is doing here, he's saying they're both belief. You don't know for sure you can damage. You don't know for sure you've damaged. You plucked a blade of grass on Shabbos. Again, you've been taught to believe that you just did a very serious thing. But you don't know for sure what happened. You don't see the olamos crumbling because of your sin. You believe that something happened. Good. So believe also that your mitzvos can... You see how much of our existence is dependent upon belief? If I have emuna, then I believe my averos matter. And I should believe that. That's what Jews are supposed to believe. And if I have emuna, I believe my mitzvos matter. And my learning matters. I believe that my actions matter. I believe, like Rabbi Nachman said on one occasion, he wasn't just being silly... I believe that when I twirl my payas, the olamos are spinning. I believe that. I can't prove that. I can't see that with my physical eyes. But if the tzaddikim tell me that's what's happening, then anima amin. And if I believe that, then my life takes on a totally different quality. My life is alive. Yeah. Okay. What do you mean?
I'm sure you've heard of a couple of experiments that were run, one by a Japanese scientist on water droplets.
Yeah, sure.
And the other on plants.
Okay. Those are things that can help us to believe in the power of certain things that otherwise we weren't able to see. There's a lot of things that in the ancient world we couldn't see, which now through the advancements of science and technology and medicine we have access to understand things and look at things that we never had access to seeing before. So part of the reason that we have access to seeing those things is to be mechazik armuna. So the Chavetz Chaim said. Chavetz Chaim said, why is it that nowadays we have, we have photography and we have telephones and we have all these things are mechazik armuna. When you read a Mishnah Pirkei Avos, the Chavetz Chaim says, it says that God records all your actions. You're thinking, what? How could God possibly record all my actions? Well, now the government's recording all your actions also, so it becomes easier to believe. If we could figure out the technology to do it, if I could be looking at someone on my phone right now and having a conversation with them when they're on the other side of the world, it's not so crazy to believe that God could keep a pretty, good log of my life, of my choices, of my thoughts, my actions. Right? So yeah, all these advancements in being able to see more, to see things that are beneath the surface, should be mechazik us to believe that, yeah, that the things that we can't yet see also matter. I think it can help us strengthen our faith. Okay, Chaver, let's wrap up. One of the signs of the end of days, the ikvus of the Mashiach, the Mishnah Maseches Sota tells us in source number 9, is that Na'arim Pnei Zakenim Yalbinu. There's going to be a certain upheaval and a breakdown in society where instead of there being a hierarchy where the younger ones respect their elders, right? We're going to find the time, we're going to be living in a time where the Na'arim Pnei Zakenim Yalbinu, where the young ones are going to disgrace the face of the older ones. Going to whiten their face with shame. We're going to embarrass our elders. There's going to be a breakdown of the norms, right? Zakenim yamdu b'nei katanim. The elders are going to stand up for the young ones. There's going to be a lack of. There's going to be chutzpah yaske. There's going to be an increase of chutzpah in the world. There's just this terrible bilbul that's taking place in the world, and we see it now on a lot of different levels. You see it in types of conversations that are being held in the world today, right? Just the breakdown of whatever was considered normal once upon a time. Everything is suspect. Everything is challenged. So I want to learn a piece of Torah from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky in the Emes LeYaakov and Parshas Devarim, which I think can help us to understand how when we're living in a world of bilbulim, it's a sign that there's a lack of emunah. Because emunah gives seder to the world. You understand why? You understand what I mean by that? Emunah gives seder to the world? Because when the world looks like it's out of order, when things look random, emunah says there's nothing random about it. And the more we buy into the randomness, the more we allow the upheaval to take place, right? So that's a sign of a lack of emunah on our part. The Chumash describes in source number 10 that when the Meraglim were being sent, v'tikravun elai kulchem, Moshe Rabbeinu, as he reviews the Chet HaMeraglim, Moshe says in Dvarim Perak Aleph, you all gathered to me, and you said, come, let's send men to scout out the land for us. Let's send spies to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so Rashi says, "V'tikravune lai kulchem," in source number 11, "Bi'erbuvya." You all came to me. You all drew close to me. Bi'erbuvya, in a jumble, in a big mix, total. Everyone came, started screaming at Moshe. We need to send spies. We need to send spies. Everyone came. Was a big balagan. Ulahalan hu omer in Dvarim Parakei. It also says, "V'tikravune lai," but in Dvarim Parakei, when it's describing the Jews coming close to Moshe by Kabbalah HaTorah, what does it say there? Over there, Osa Kreva Haisa Hogenis. By Kabbalah HaTorah, the Jews lined up in a proper order. First the elders, right? And the heads of Shratim came. And then the younger ones came. Yaladim Mechavdim Esazakenim. Vishalchim Lefnehem. The younger ones let the elder ones go first. Vizakenim Mechavdim Esaroshim Leches Lefnehem. And the Zakenim said, the heads of the tribes should lead the way. It was orderly by Kabbalah HaTorah. Aval Khan, but says Rashi, what was the difference between this Vatikravun? Here was Vatikravun Elai Kulcham. You all came screaming at me, Moshe says. Vatikravun Elai Kulcham Be'ervuvya. Yeladim, says Rashi, Dochvin Es HaZakenim. The young ones were pushing the elders out of the way. V'Zakenim Dochvin Es HaRoshim. And the Zakenim were pushing the heads of the tribes out of the way. It was just total chaos. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky explains that what Rashi is telling us here, and you have to understand it in the context of Chet HaMeraglim, what Rashi is telling us here is it wasn't just a lack of midos, which it also was. Of course, youngsters pushing the elders out of the way is a terrible lack of midos. That's not it, says Rav Yaakov. Why were they acting all mububal, all crazy? We got to send Meraglim, we got to send spies to Eretz Yisrael. Why dafka in that context, as Hashem's preparing to take them to the land of faith, all of a sudden there's this terrible breakdown? Says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky in the second to last source number 12, Bir Hadavar, De'ena kavana sheta'an Moshe lehem ki yesh kan tviya b'chavur ha-Torah uv'hilchos derech Eretz. When Moshe rebukes them here, and it says, you all came pushing, the youngsters were pushing the elders out of the way. It wasn't, Moshe wasn't just giving them mussar. Where was your derech eretz? Where were your midos? Because the lack of midos doesn't necessarily fit thematically with the sin that they're about to commit, the chet ha-meraglim. So you know what it means when youngsters push elders out of the way? You know what it means when everyone becomes panicked like this? We need to send spies? It's not just a lack of derech eretz, it's a lack of faith in God. And when there's a lack of emuna, things become mubal. Things get really crazy. And that's one of the signs, the Mishnah that tells us in Sota, of the end of days. That the youngsters are going to push the elders out of the way. There's going to be this upheaval of the natural order of things. It says Rav Yaakov in the fourth line, El Shakan Haisa Tviya. Shalom ba'u ledaber ito be'inyin ha-meraglim ka'anashim ha-ma'aminim ba'avtachas Hashem Yisbach. They came to speak to Moshe not like people who had faith in God. They weren't sending meraglim just because they wanted to understand the best route to Eretz Yisrael. They were questioning whether or not Hashem is correct. When God says to them, Al tirav al techas, don't be afraid, you're going to Eretz Yisrael, and they panic and come running to Moshe Rabbeinu, pushing each other out of the way, right? Well, what's going on here? V'ritzonam rak la'asos ha'ishtadlis ha'nitzrechas l'zeh. It wasn't that they were just doing the necessary ishtadlis. Elami kevan shubau elav berabuvya, says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. Since they came to Moshe in this terrible jumble, ubebala, they came with what? They came with just this complete bilbul. Imkein zemochiach she'ein heim boitchim ba'ashem yisbarach klal. It was a sign that they didn't trust God at all. They were frightened. It was God setting us up to be killed, sending us to the land of Israel. These giants are going to kill us. And therefore Moshe reveals to them, chein meraglim is a lack of amuna. It's a lack of bitachon. And the proof is the fact that you came, what? Be'erbuvya, that you all came pushing. We just had Asara B'Teves. We just experienced Asara B'Teves. Asara B'Teves was the day that what? That the king of Bavel came and surrounded Yerushalayim. Bavel is a lashon of Bilbul. Bavel is a lashon of Bilbul. Chodesh Teves is a very dark month. And it's a time of Bilbulim. It's a time of not being able to identify Hashem in our lives. That's what happens when you're in the dark. It's hard to see things. If you remember, the Pasuk says at the beginning of the Chumash, that it was Tohu, Vohu, Choshech, Alpanei Sohom. What's the first Gullus called? The Gullus is Bavel. Bavel corresponds to which word in the Pasuk? The first word in the Pasuk, Tohu. How is Tohu spelled in the Chumash? Chaser. It's spelled Tav, He, Vav, Tohu. What's the Gematria of Tohu? Tav, He, Vav. 411. 411 is Gematria Teves. Right? What we're re-experiencing in the month of Teves is that complete tohu, that complete void, that lack of awareness of Hashem in our life. It's bavel, it's bilbulim, it's utter confusion, it's lack of amuna. It's a time when the Gentile world is expressing their faith and their beliefs, right? Which is a confrontation with our beliefs. It's a time of working harder in the dark to be able to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being in our lives. And that's really avoda for the end of days. I skipped over the Gemara in source number 6, but the Gemara says that Habakkuk came along and said, if I have to sum up the entirety of the Torah in one principle, it's v'tzadik be'amunaso yechya. If you want to make it to the end, if you want to make it to Mashiach, then tzadik be'amunaso yechya. I've told you before, what's the end of Gullus? What's the end of Gullus? Tohu vohu choshech al pnei sahom. So if you remember, who do we have to fight in the end? Who's the last battle against? What Gullus are we in now? Right now we're in Gullus Edom, which is also Gullus Yishmael. And if you remember how to learn the Pasuk? Tohu bo al pnei sahom, right? So what's al pnei? Al pnei is Gematria 240, is Gematria Malik, right? So you have al pnei sahom, you have a Malik. Tahom, the Medrash says, is Edom. But it's also Yishmael. What's the Gematria of Tahom? 451. Very good, Revelva, which is Gematria Yishmael. So you have the last Biror that we're going through right now is what? Is Amalek and Edom and Yishmael. So let's add up Amalek plus Edom plus Yishmael. Tell you a nice remnant. What's the Gematria of Amalek plus Edom plus Yishmael? This is the last. Again, Habakkuk says, if you want to be Matzliach, Tzadik ve'emunaso yechya. You need a muna. So let's add up a malik plus Edom plus Yishmael. So a malik is 240. How much is Edom? How much is that, Dom?
51.
So that's 291. Plus 451. 291 plus 451. How much is that? How much? Did I mess it up? 291 plus 451. 742. Okay. So Amalek plus Edom plus Yishmael is 742. So now let's add up the gematria of Tzadik be'emunaso yichya. How much is Tzadik? How much is Tzadik? How much is Tzadik? 204. Okay. Be'emunaso. Beis Aleph Mem Vav Nun Taf Vav. How much is be'emunaso? No. 505 sounds right. 405. So 204 plus 505. And Yechia, Yud Ches Yud Hey, is 33. So how much is 204 plus 505 plus 33? 742 works. Gvaldik. So Tzadik Bemanoso Yechia is Gematria Amalek plus Edom plus Yishmael. Yeah, sure. For what? For Tzadik Bemanoso Yechia? Amalek is 240. Because the pasuk says Al Panei Sahom. So Al Panei is 240. And Tahom, the Medrash says Tahom is Edom. It's not Gematria Edom, but it refers to Edom. But the later tzaddikim reveal to us that Tahom is Gematria Yishmael, 451. So now we understand when the Gemara says the last thing you need to survive, Tzadik Bemanaso Yechia, is Gematria Amalek plus Edom plus Yishmael. Okay, Chaver, let's conclude today's shiur with the final source. One more beautiful piece from Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Nachman writes in the Sichos Aran in Reish Chaf Beis. Again, understand, we're in the days of Bavel. These are the days that Melech Bavel laid siege on Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is a place of Amuna. Our Amuna is being surrounded. So Rabbi Nachman was speaking one time to a person who had all sorts of bilbulei Amuna. V'chizek oso Rabbeinu Zichrono Levracha v'amar lo. Rabbi Nachman was mechazek this Jew in the following way. Look what he said to him. It's beautiful. V'amar lo, he said to him, She'isa shekol hishavos ma'isa bereishis hayarak bishvil ma'ash etzafa Hashem yisbarach She'yu anashim she'yel lehem yisurim be'inin amuna ha'kadosha Machmas ha'bilbulim v'akviros ha'olam ha'machshavtam rachmano litzlan. Rabbi Nachman said to this Jew, you need to understand that the very reason for creation, let's break down the words, shekol hishavos ma'isa bereishis, right, built into creation itself was Hashem what? Being tzafa. Hashem looking into the future and seeing that there are going to be people who suffer with all sorts of struggles in Amunah. They're going to be living in a world of kfira, of heresy. And some of these thoughts are going to enter their minds and they're going to have to work hard to fight against them. Vehem yisgabru, fourth line, keneged elu hamachshavos. And Hashem saw there's going to be Jews at the end of days who are fighting back, who are pushing back, who are trying to still believe. It's so hard, Hashem. You made it so dark in the world. But we're trying to believe. We're really trying to believe. We're trying to live with you. And we're trying to fight against these negative machshavos. V'yizchazku be'emuna, to strengthen our faith. V'rak b'shvil zeh bara Hashem yizbarach es kol ma'isa bereishis. And that's why God created the world. Hashem put all this into motion so that Hashem could get nachas ruach by watching us struggle to be believers in a world of disbelief. Amazing. Rabbi Nachman says, don't feel bad. Don't feel bad that you're struggling. Hashem is watching you and Hashem is cheering you on. And through this, Rabbi Nachman was able to mechazik this Jew a lot. Whenever he had these negative thoughts, he just thought, when Hashem created the world, the very underpinnings of creation are what? Is with the desire that what? That I should be able to continue to try to believe and to work on believing. Right? Again, as we said the other day, Bereishis, the first thing a Jew needs to know is Bara Elokim, that God created the world. To believe in Hashem, that's the Reishis of everything. That's the goal. That's the starting point, and that's the finishing point. That's where the world begins, and that's where the world ends. To come to deep Amunah. And he quotes a pasuk in Tehillim that says, V'chol ma'aseyu be'amunah. That everything was created with Amunah. Everything is with Amunah. Everything is with Amunah. So, Mirtz Hashem, as we try to put the finishing touches on the final gullus, Malek, Edom, Yishmael, Gamatri, Yatzadik, Be'amunah, Soyechya, we should be ma'aminim. We should attach ourselves to people who have belief. If we feel that we're struggling in our belief, attach yourself to tzaddikim, people of Amunah. I'll just end with one little ma'isa, a great little ma'isa. Rav Asher of Stolen, Zecher Tzad V'Kadosh L'Vracha, was Rosh Hashanah Tafresh Lamed Gimel. So he said he was about to make Kiddush, and there was a chassid who was standing there in the crowd. And Rav Asher stopped for a second, and he called this chassid over. He called him over, and he whispered something in his ear. And the chassid had this look on his face, total shock. And then he went back to his place, and Rav Asher made Kiddush, Rosh Hashanah Tafresh Lamed Gimel, 1873. So afterwards, they asked this fellow. They said, "What did the Rebbe say to you before he made Kiddush?" So he says, "You know, it was Rosh Hashanah, and I was trying to think about a Kiddush Baruch Hu, and I was really struggling with my emunah. I don't know, maybe this chassid had a bad year. Tafresh Lamed Beis was a rough year for him. I don't know." And he said, I was questioning to what degree, you know, does Hashem really know what's going on with my life? To what degree is there really hashkach in my life? He said, I was having an emunah struggle. Mamash right there and then on Rosh Hashanah. So he said, the Rebbe called me over, and the Rebbe whispered in my ear, the Rebbe said, listen, I know exactly what you're thinking right now. I know that you're struggling with your emunah, and I want you to know that if a human being like me could know exactly what you're thinking, then that should give you a lot of chizik to know that Hashem for sure knows what's going on in your life. If you're worried that you don't have Hashkacha Pratis in your life, you should just know that I'm just a Basar V'dam, and I can tell you exactly what you're thinking right now. I know exactly what you're thinking right now. I can read your thoughts. So if I can know it, then you should have the confidence to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with you and He knows exactly what's going on in your life. You should feel that Hashkacha Pratis in your life. No, so we should be people who are able to be ma'amin, to live with that emunah. That our lives can be really alive. Mirtz Hashem. Okay, shkoyach, everyone. Stop here for today. Shkoyach.